إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the middle of the ayat relating to Surah Al-Baqarah, relating to Ramadan in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the following. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when my slave asks about me, I am close to him. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my slave asks about me, I am close to him. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ. When he asks me, I listen to him and I give him. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي. So tell him to obey me. وَلْيُؤْمِنُ بِي. And to have faith in me. Iman. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Perhaps they will be rightly guided. لَعَلَّ means perhaps in the Arabic language, the لُغْوِ مَعَنَا. But the اِسْتِلَاحِ مَعَنَا, the technical meaning in the Qur'an is not perhaps, it is definite. Wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ, لَعَلَّهُمْ Turhamun, all of this, we understand it from the technical meaning of the Qur'an, that the La'alla in the Qur'an is definite. It is not perhaps, there is no doubt with regard to that La'alla. On a side note, this issue of Lughvi Ma'ana and Istilahi Ma'ana, the dictionary meaning of something and the technical meaning of something, causes unnecessary confusion in the minds of people. And people who like to get involved in furu'at, who like to get involved in minor matters which are really not important, they cause a lot of confusion for themselves and others. For example, the other day somebody sent me this thing saying, somebody told me that to call somebody Maulana is haram. First of all, the word haram, again, using it as a lughvi in the sense of dictionary meaning, language meaning, meaning prohibited, is okay. But to use it with the sense and understanding of the istilahi ma'ana of haram, which is something which is prohibited Islamically. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, famous qawl, he said that except for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned as haram in the Quran, we do not use the word haram for anything else. Imagine, this is what Imam Malik is saying. Except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, lahmul khinzir wa dam, you know, blood and the pork, the flesh of pigs, and alcohol and so on, gambling, ritsum min amali shaitan fajtanibu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is the worst from the amal of the shaitan, and stay away. Imam Malik said, except for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically prohibited and called haram in the Quran, we do not call say anything else is haram. Now, is he permitting wrong things? No. He's just saying we don't use that term because the term has so much of significance. See, in Islam, something which a Muslim knows to be haram and deliberately does it, this is kufr. This is kufr. He knows something is haram and he deliberately goes and does it. That means he has chosen consciously to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is kufr. So, be very careful before you pronounce things as haram. Right? Again, as I said, normal speaking, you say something and you know the other person also knows you are not making a statement of that kind, that's a different matter. But generally speaking, so somebody sent me this thing to say that that so and so said that to call somebody Maulana, which is a normal way in which we address our scholars in India, Pakistan and so on, Bangladesh, this is haram. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Wahuwa Maulana. He, Allah used the word with regard to himself. Now again, unnecessary confusion. The word Maulana with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu in the Quran has an istilahi ma'ana, a technical meaning which relates only to Allah and nobody else. But the word also has a regular meaning in the language, which means my friend. Mawla is friend, Maulana is our friend. Our friend, the one who serves us, the one who helps us and so on and so forth. Just for example, to give you an example, let me illustrate that with an example. Another word. When we send what we call durud in Urdu, in Arabic we call it salah, right? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. So what is the meaning of that? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making salat of salat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Na'udhu billah. Salat there means what? It means blessing. It means dua. It means whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means in terms of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is used, even though the word salah is used in the Quran with respect to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the meaning there is not the same meaning as aqimu salah. Is it the same meaning? Yusalluna ala nabi and aqimu salah is the same meaning? No, it is not. Aqimu salah is the technical meaning of salah, which means the formal form of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, which we do. Sallu ala nabi means send blessing on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, there is a difference in these things and therefore, let us be clear about that. As I said, this is a side note. Don't get sidetracked by the furuat, by things which are unimportant, small things. Let us stick with the foundations of this deen. Let us work on our hearts. Let us work on, creating a substrate in our heart which allows the flowering of iman, which allows the flowering of yaqeen. Right? Tomorrow we will talk about that, why tazkiyatun nafs is important and so on. But today to work with the ayah which I mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. So, how do you get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By asking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By inquiring about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By reflecting on who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we say who is Allah, we are not talking about the zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't go there. That's not a place where our mind can take us or our mind can guide us. And that's another big area of potential confusion and potential misguidance, where people then talk about the nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is against our aqidah. We do not talk about the nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, istawa ala al-arsh. Allah is istawa on his arsh, whatever that means, in keeping with his majesty and grace. We say Allah is on his arsh. We do not say what is the state of Allah on his arsh. When we say Allah is on his arsh, what does it mean? Is he sitting? Is he standing? Is he lying down? Na'udhu billah? No. We do not apply our understanding of the human condition to the person of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. What we know of the zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what he has told us jalla shanuhu. In the Quran, when he mentioned himself in Ayatul Kursi, in various other places where he introduced himself, what we know is what he has told us. Beyond this, we do not conjecture. Beyond this, we do not try to conceptualize. Beyond this, we do not try to guess and arrive at all sorts of meanings which can only be wrong. There is no way that meaning can possibly be right, because our mind cannot encompass Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of who he is. So, how do we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Through his ayat, through his signs. And as Shaykh Muhammad said yesterday, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are in two places. In the open book of Allah, which is the Kaunain, which is the cosmos, and in the closed book of Allah. And the closed book does not mean that the book is closed and locked and you can't see. Closed in the closed as in comparison to the open. So, closed book, which is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Quran Al-Kareem, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And therefore, we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from these two sources, right? Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziya rahmatullahi alayhi also mentioned this particular terminology of closed book and open book in his discourses, and if I am not mistaken, in Madajul Salikin. So therefore, this is what we do. How do we ask about Allah? How do we get close to Allah? By becoming conscious of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ayatullah. Now, when we do that, when we ask about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing which happens is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am close to my slave. As I keep saying again and again to remind myself and you, whenever we hear these things, let us try to experience that, not just the words of it. Not just the words of it. Ta'ala Allahul Amthal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond any misal that we can give, but we give the misal only for us to help us to understand. When we are close to anyone or anything which has an effect on us, the closeness increases that effect. Right? If you are close to a lion, then it has an effect on you. And the closer you are to the lion, the more the effect. Right? If you are close to somebody you love, it has an effect on you. If you are close to somebody you dislike, it has an effect on you. Both ways. Right? So if there is somebody whose face you can't stand, and if somehow you are stuck with that person, then it has an effect on you. It spoils your whole day. And opposite, if you love somebody, you are close to them, that has an effect on you. So anything or anybody that we are close to has an effect on us. So let us ask ourselves this question. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am close to my slave. When he or she asks about me, what is the effect on us of the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is there an effect? This is one of the biggest problems that we have today. And I'm talking about myself. Our hearts have become very, very hard, impervious. So knowledge, information, knowledge, whatever you want to call it, has no effect on us. It's just data. It's just, we are stuffing our minds full of stuff. And we remember so many ayat of the Quran, we remember so many hadith and so on. If you ask, what is the effect of that on you? Zero. Nothing. We read the whole Quran, not one tear will come out of our eyes. We read the whole Quran, nothing happens to the heart. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did he say about the heart? إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Specific mention of what happens to the heart and what should happen to the heart when the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is made before the person. Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, one of her aqwal, she was one of the wisest women. The ulama have said that we owe 25% of this deen to Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. People used to go to her for fatwa. The senior sahaba used to go to ask her for advice, to ask her for explanation, to ask her for fatwa in matters of deen. She said, the first bid'ah of this ummah, the first bid'ah of this ummah was that the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was taken without the azmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart. The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was taken without the glory and the magnificence and the awe and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart. People just started saying, Allah, Allah, like many people say, Wallahi this, Wallahi that, Wallahi I must have a cup of tea. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There's no worth of this. There's no worth of this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically mentioned in a different context, but he mentioned specifically and said, don't go to the haram so often that you lose the awe of the haram. It becomes another masjid like for you. You just go there, you pray two rakat, you go home, you pray this for. No, that does not mean don't pray your salah in Masjid al-Haram. I'm saying that don't lose that sense of, all of us, I'm sure, remember the first time we entered Masjid al-Haram, the first time you saw the Kaaba. Those of you who have not done that yet, may Allah give you the opportunity to do that as quickly as possible, inshallah. But those of you who do the first, it's an experience you'll never forget. The first time you see the Kaaba, you say, Subhanallah, this is what I was worshipping in this direction. So, how to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By asking about Allah, by inquiring about Allah. Now, asking does not always mean asking somebody. You can ask somebody, you can read, you can reflect, thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the question in the mind. So, thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Asking also relates to looking at things and saying, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Somebody asked me, how do you teach the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to small children? Little ones. 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. So, I said, take the whole bunch of them and go sit under a tree. Find a nice tree, go sit under the tree. And then tell them to bring you leaves. So they'll run around and they'll pick up leaves. And then show them the leaf. And say they all the leaves are from the same tree. Right? If you're sitting under a big tree, you'll find all the same leaves. So you ask them, are all the leaves from the same tree? They say, yes. But are they all the same? Every leaf is different. So let them look at those leaves. Let them wonder, subhanAllah, what a leaf. One of the tragedies of our lives as we grow up is, we lose this sense of wonder. How a child approaches the world, we lose that very early. And our schooling is primarily responsible for this. Destroy imagination, we destroy the sense of wonder, and we convert what Allah created. We convert what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, these beautiful human beings with so much of the ability of the eyes of the heart to look at the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we blind all that. And we convert them into robots and morons who are then depressed and this and that. Now obviously you will be depressed. How can you not be depressed? Because there's no wonder in your life, there's no joy in your life. It's all been there, done that. Jaded. Whereas a child will see the same thing 10 times and they'll be, you bring the little children here and put them, he will wonder at each one of these rocks. There's no need to lose it, we can get it back, right? So get this into your life. The great secret of happiness is to be happy about small things. Not about big things. Big things will happen once in a blue moon, But small things, they happen every day, multiple times a day. But we ignore all of that. We're waiting for this great thing to happen. That great thing maybe happens once. Secret of happiness is to be happy at the small things. And the more small things that you can be happy about, the more happy you will be. The secret of happiness is to make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. How can we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are sitting in this beautiful location, surrounded by the sounds of all the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which are making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala early in the morning. We are hearing all these sounds, the sounds of the birds and the little frogs in the stream, we are hearing the sound of the water. Sabbaha lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Every single thing in the, whatever is in the heavens and the earth, makes tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalala. You're sitting here surrounded by this. We are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are talking about the glory and majesty of Allah. This is ibadah. This is ibadah. Bismillahi ta'ala, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We started at 3 o'clock in the morning. We prayed tahajjud. Then we sat in zikr. We made tilawat of the Quran. Then we heard the adhan. Then we prayed Sunnah of Fajr, then we prayed Salatul Fajr. Now we are sitting in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the time we are finished from here and gone, maybe it will be 6 o'clock. That is 3 hours of solid worship before your day even began. So what kind of a day it must be? Think about that. And this opportunity, every single one of us has every day of our lives. Don't let this end with the LEC. That would be a tragedy because then, you are losing out. The purpose of the LEC is to give you these things, not for you to leave them behind here. Take it in your life. ensure that you do that every single day of your life. Very, very easy, nothing wrong. I mean, nothing difficult. You're doing it here. So when you go back home, just continue. Now imagine the day of a person who begins the day with 2 hours or 3 hours of ibadah, what kind of a day will that be? Will that day have difficulties in it? Will it have any? It'll be like, if music was halal, I would say it would be like music. Just flows the whole day, all difficulties gone. Why? Because your day began with the glory of Allah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you are, see the beauty of this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when my slave asks about me, I am close to him. Now when Allah is close to you, what do? You ask Allah for what you want. Ujibu da'wata da'i za da'i. You ask Allah for what you want. And Allah said, I listen to you. And I will give you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the slave stops asking. So this is the problem. We make dua for something, for a few days, for a few weeks, for a couple of years, whatever, then we say, won't happen. We give up. And that's why we always mention the story of Nuh alayhi salam. How much of effort. So never give up. Make dua. But Allah said, He listens. Dua, what we forget, is that dua itself is ibadah. Quite apart from what you got or you didn't get, that's a different matter. But dua itself is ibadah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ad-du'a'u mukhul ibadah. He said, dua is the brain of ibadah. It is the essence of ibadah. So, irrespective of what you get or you don't get, you already got the reward of ibadah when you were making dua. So, don't lose that. Keep on asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives what is good for us. Now, we do not know what is good for us. So, we ask for things. And you might say, well, I'm not asking for a bad thing. So, how can it not be good? But we do not know that thing which we ask for, what is behind it, what also comes with it, and so on and so forth. So, even though you might be asking for something which is good. You might be asking to get married. You might be asking to have children. You might be asking for a good job. You might be, many of you are in the work of Islamic organizations. You might be asking for good things for the Islamic organization. So, you might say, well, I'm not asking for anything bad, but I don't get it. I'm asking for this particular project I'm working on, and I'm asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, I need funds, please give me funds, but I'm not getting funds. So, why doesn't Allah give me? And then you give up. Never do that. Your job is to ask. You do your job. Allah did not make you and me mukallaf. He didn't make you and me responsible for the completion of the project. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us responsible to ask for the project. To work on the project. You do your job. If Allah wants to complete, He will complete. When He wants to complete, He will complete. How He wants to complete, He will complete. There is no need to lose hope. There is no need to feel discouraged. And despondent to say, well, I've been making all this dua for so long, and after all, I'm asking for something which is good for the ummah. Why doesn't Allah give me? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. No. Never ask. Never get that kind of attitude. Your job is to work, you work. Your job is to ask, you ask. And we have the ayat in the Quran with regard to that. Where the people with the Nabi, they were tried and they were tested so severely that the earth beneath their feet shook. Which means that was the kind of level of difficulty that they had to go through. And they asked, Mata Nasrullah, where is the Nusrat of Allah? And what did Allah say? Allah said, surely the Nusrat of Allah is close by. Qareeb. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His own framework in which He does what He wants to do. It is a great mercy and blessing of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity to get involved in that work. The work Allah will do. It is Allah's job. And Allah does not need you and me to do this work. So get this out of your mind. Nobody is doing Allah any favor. Allah will do what He has to do. The favor is on us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity to make dua for that particular thing, to make some effort for that particular thing. So that our names are then listed in the list of those people who helped in the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So never lose hope in that. Ujibu da'wat ad-da'i idha da'an. Ask, I will give you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put two conditions on that. First condition, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي. Obey me. Make sure that you never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never do something which is prohibited. Never do something which is wrong. No matter who gives you what justification for it. Because this is another fitna. This is another big fitna. Where people justify, you know it is wrong, but you justify it. You find some tawil from somewhere and you justify it and you say, no, but you see in this case it is okay. How is it okay? If it is wrong, it is wrong. It does not become okay because you have this great glorious vision for yourself. No. Sorry. Doesn't work like that. Obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without question. Don't try to twist and turn. Don't become like the Bani Israel who did that and got themselves into trouble. There was a rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They try to bend the rule and break the rule. They don't break it, they bend it. And they think they are fooling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's not become like that. The sad thing is today, many Muslims have become like this. There is a rule, but you want to bend this rule. Because you have convinced yourself in your mind, oh, this is the way to success. It is not the way to success. It's the way towards shaitan. Don't do that. Never do that. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. Obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stick to the faraid. Fulfill. Please understand, there is no great secret of ruhaniyat. There is no great secret of spirituality other than the faraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who is not praying his fard salah, and if it is a man, if he is not praying that fard salah in jama'ah, I am not saying his fard salah is not accepted. If he has a reason why he is praying alone, inshallah his salah is accepted. But believe me, he is not doing what he is supposed to be doing. So stop talking about spirituality. No amount of zikr in the world is going to get you anywhere if you are not doing your first salah. You can make whatever wazifa you want, you can make whatever zikr you want. None of that has any meaning if you are not doing your first salah. Because that first salah is the number one requirement as far as Islam is concerned. So don't fool yourself. Don't get into, any kind of argument with regard to that. So fulfill the faraid, number one. Number two, maintain the most strict control with regard to haram and halal. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made haram is haram. What Allah made halal is halal, alhamdulillah. We have problems with both. We got problems with both. For example, what Allah made haram, you want to find some way of getting around it. Right? Some way of getting around. We find some tawil. This one said, that one said, so on. The most typical is what we eat. We are not careful with what we eat. And therefore, our duas are wasted. Doesn't get accepted. Allah does not take anything which is impure. The other complication is, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made halal, we make it haram on ourselves. With the best of intentions, I'm not doubting your intentions. Best of intentions. You say, no, but why should I eat meat? After all, the poor thing. If it dies, its uncle will be very unhappy. What about the aunt of the chicken? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made halal is halal. Don't use your brain in that. Don't make it haram on yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Al-Tahrim, what is the first ayah? Allah said very specifically, O my Nabi, do not make haram on yourself what Allah has made halal. This is one of the confusions in the minds of people. They ascribe to animals human qualities. And they talk about animals as if they are people. There is no scientific evidence whatsoever that animals have the emotions of people, that animals have the emotions and so on and so forth. It's a completely, there is absolutely zero science. This is all confusion in the mind with the best of intentions, but it is confusion. Don't fall into all these traps. You don't want to eat meat, don't eat meat, no problem. But don't make one big tamasha about this meat eating and convert it into some great act of, goodness that I am not eating meat. You have a preference. Allah has given you the choice, eat or don't eat, no problem. But don't make it into one big song and dance story. So, do not make what Allah has made haram into halal, and do not make what Allah has made halal into haram. Both are equally wrong. So, faraid, fulfilling of faraid, ensuring that you do not do this magic with haram and halal, and then go a step further, which is what we have been talking about. Do more, don't do less. Do more, don't do less. Pray all the sunnah. Do all the azkar after for salah. Pray nawafil. Kasratu sujood. Increase in the amount of number of sajda we do. Frequency of sajda. This is a means of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kasratu sujood. So do more, don't do less. This minimalist thinking with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a very major problem and the reason why we don't get close to Allah. Because we want to do the least possible. But with our dunya, the most possible. What a terrible deal this is. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziy rahmatullahi, may Allah bless him. So many wonderful things he said. He said, what a bad deal this is. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you something which is la ilaha illallah, which you had to buy. With what? With a little bit of the dunya which also Allah gave you. But instead of buying that la ilaha illallah, you sold it. And what did you lose with that? You lost Jannah. If you had held on to that la ilaha illallah, Allah would have given you Jannah. So, acceptance of dua, فَلْيَسْتَجِبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي, to have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, what is the meaning of faith? Please try to understand this. What is the meaning of faith? Faith is to know without any doubt. Faith is to know that something will happen when there is no sign of that thing happening. I'll give you two definitions of faith. Listen carefully. Faith is to know with complete certainty that this thing will happen when there is no evidence before you that it will happen. That is the meaning of faith. Faith is not blind. That's why people call it blind faith. It is not blind. It is based on evidence. You have the evidence of the jalal of Allah. You have the evidence of the kamal of Allah. You have the evidence of the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Based on that evidence, you are saying that this thing will happen. Insha'Allahul Musta'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve the suffering of this ummah. We are not saying this as a vague thing. We are saying this with certainty, inshallah. But today when we look around, is there a sign of this? No. So do we lose hope? No, we don't lose hope. That is the meaning of faith. Faith is to know with certainty when there is no sign that this thing will happen. First definition. Second definition of faith. Faith is to see something happening from a particular source, but to know that it is not happening from there, but it is happening bi-iznillahi ta'ala jalla jalalu. Faith is to see something happening from a particular source, but to know that it is not happening from there, it is happening bi-iznillahi ta'ala by the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this thing has no power in it. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is doing it. Faith is to see your risk, your sustenance coming from your shop, coming from your business, but to know that it is not your business which sustains you, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hukam which is causing that business to be the means, the temporary means by which your sustenance comes. And what is the proof of that? The proof of that is your ability to leave that work for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the proof that you actually have faith, that you are willing and able to leave that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Musa alayhi salam, the ayat of Surah Taha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Musa alayhi salam and he said, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. What is there in your hand? I'm compressing it. What is in your right hand, ya Musa? What was in his right hand? His stick, his staff. Allah knows what is in his right hand. Why is Allah asking him that question? To draw his attention to that thing. What's in your hand? Oh, ya Allah, is my stick. And this stick is a source of benefit for Musa alayhi salam. So Musa alayhi salam tells Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the fadail of the stick. The stick is good for me. I rest on it. I do this. Break the, pull down the leaves of trees for my sheep and so on and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, throw it on the ground. This is the tarbiyah of the Nabi happening with regard to tawakkul. You throw it on the ground, the stick becomes a snake. Poisonous snake, big snake, fast moving snake. So Musa alayhi salam now is afraid. Oh my God, what happened to the stick? He's about to run. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, don't. La takhaf. Don't be frightened. Pick up that thing. Pick up that thing. Musa alayhi salam is afraid to pick up that thing. And then Musa alayhi salam picks it up. Back to its original form. What is the lesson there? Exactly what I told you. It is not that thing which has the power to do good or bad. It is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La nafi wa la dharra illallah. What is la ilaha illallah? La ilaha illallah is la nafi wa la dharra illallah. And that is the faith. Yu'minu bi la'allahum yarshudun. Allah said, this is guidance for you. This is guidance for you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us. Tomorrow inshallah, if there is opportunity, if Allah gives us the strength, we talk about how to make dua and what are the times to make dua. I don't want to extend this session beyond this, let us stay with this. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do more, not less. Have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the definitions of faith. And understand that dua itself is ibadah. So never stop making dua. No matter what you see or don't see. Continue to make dua. And tomorrow inshallah we'll talk about how to do this. And how to make dua and what are the times and of acceptance and so on and so forth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all our duas. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you in keeping with His majesty and grace. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and to be pleased with all that you do for His sake and to enable us to do all that we do only for His sake and not for anything else. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين.